ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, good afternoon. And we're gathered here for the game of your life.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
I want to see you put your flags up in the air right now. Sing.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the first ever Warrior Call podcast brought to you by Soca Warriors Net and the Warrior Nation. So, I'm here in the studio tonight, and with me, I have Kevin, aka Football Supporter. What vibes, Kevin?
Good evening, how are you?
Cool, cool, cool. And also, have for the first one, for the first podcast tonight, Tallman, founder of SocaWarriors.net and president of the Soca Warriors Supporter Club. So what vibes, Tallman?
Good night, good night.
Cool, cool. Nice to have you all here, you know. Just a first podcast. We're hoping this is going to be a monthly podcast where we just kind of highlight some of the main issues affecting Trinidad football and kind of just talk through everything. Just starting with Tallman, I mean, just, you know, if you want to just get us a little background of the SocaWarriors.net and the Warrior Nation.
Okay, well, SocaWarriors.net was started back in 1999 by Flex Muhammad. And around that time, I was out in San Francisco. And Flex had it running for about 2 years and then ran into some difficulties in terms of having a website, basically to keep the website running.
All right.
So at that point, I stepped in because he was going to close it down. I mean, you know, it probably would not have survived to this day. So I stepped in. I said, no, we can't kill this. It's too good. It's too valuable. So I stepped in and I said, first thing, we need to get a proper domain name. And I said that I will, you know, donate the money for administration costs and so forth. So he welcomed that. You know, we changed the domain to SocaWarriors.net, got everything straightened out, and we proceeded. And here we are, you know, 10 years this year. We celebrated our anniversary. Although it's really 12 years in all, but 10 years being known as SocaWarriors.net. Okay. And the mission remains the same, which is to be, I mean, the premier online portal for any and everything related to Trinidad and Tobago football, you know, from primary school to the senior national team, women's team, pro league, super league, minor league, you know, any and everything once it's football. We have grown from strength to strength, and we're at a point now where it's really seen as a valuable resource by a lot of the TNT diaspora, as well as stakeholders of TNT football. You know, and for that, I'm proud. And I think 12 years is a very long time in the online community. There have been a couple other sites that have come, but they've all gone by the wayside because it does take a lot of dedication. And I would be remiss if not to really big up Flex for the original vision and pursuing it, and, you know, still being there on the front lines.
Well, man, I mean, I myself, you know, just had a bigger poly on the side too. I mean, you know, I've been living abroad for a few years back in Trinidad now, but always, that's always the first point, the first touch point for anything to do with Trinidad football. And, you know, big up Flex, this podcast, basically what we're going to try to do is every month have a special guest here on it, you know, stakeholders and football and stuff, and, you know, I'm sure he's one of the guys who come and bless us up too.
Yeah, for sure. Once you get the time.
Yeah, so, I mean, just going back to you, Kevin, I mean, I know you, I know you kind of big on the football scene in Trinidad as well, especially with your club, Northeast Stars. You want to give us a background?
Well, basically, I became involved with Trinidad football through Brent Sancho, Kelvin Jack and Ian Cox when I used to work for the PFA, and I used to advise footballers on their pensions and investments and various bits and pieces. And you know, when they told me the story of the bonus dispute, I couldn't believe that this was going on in the 21st century in football. Funny enough, you realise exactly how much the Soccer Warriors fight means, because I would say they were one of the key performers, if you like, in this court case, because so much information was gleaned from the members on the site that gave the footballers the ammunition to go this far. And I genuinely mean that, because there wasn't a lot of information out there, and it would have taken so long to search it down, but it was given at the touch of a button by Soccer Warriors. And for that, if for nothing else, that's a success story that you can point to. I'd also go as far as to say that this time at the moment, we're in a very sort of key area of the development of Trinidad and Tobago football. The administration changes will keep on coming, and I fully believe that eventually we will see a member from Soccer Warriors sitting at a board meeting of the Football Federation, in whichever new guise that comes as, because I think now the respect that Soccer Warriors has gained will earn them at board meetings, and I think that is okay. So a lot of kudos has to go out to Tall Man Fleck and all the members of the Soccer Warrior Forum, because I do believe it's earned a place in Trinidad and Tobago football, and it's respected, and I fully expect it to take a more active role in the future.
Cool, definitely. So, I mean, now that we kind of get through the introductions, we talk about what is the main thing on the Trinidad football agenda right now, which is World Cup qualifying. We have two games coming up against Guyana here, which is must win. I mean, starting with you, Kevin, what you expect to see coming out of these two games?
Oh my goodness. I must admit that the first match in Guyana is going to be nail-biting beyond belief, because as we all know, we have to come out from that match with at least a point to give us any chance of going through. I feel that the reports coming from the FISTA camp say that the players are confident. There's a lot more bonding, and I feel the difference is that in the past, the return of players from overseas was always a threat, whereas I think now the players are actually welcoming the players from overseas, because they know that they can bring something extra to the game. So I think with Kevin Jones, he's looking quite good in the Premiership. As long as Carlos is out of prison, I think we're going to be fine. I fully feel that we can go there and get a draw. My one concern is if Vista tries to get them to sit back too much, you know, that one goal can slip through, and you know, referees and that can often sway a game by one crucial decision or even a wrong decision. So I'm hoping that they'll go out and not be too defensively orientated. I don't really want them to play for a draw. I'd like them to be positive. But obviously the main thing is don't concede and don't drop any, well, don't lose the game. So, but it's gonna be scary.
How you feeling about that game going to, man?
Well, you know, just based on history and all of that, you know, despite the fact that we know it's played on the pitch, I expect us, you know, to win both games. The concern I have is our penchant for starting slowly, which everyone knows, you know, is one of our problems over the last, you know, X amount of years. And even in this current campaign, we still go out slowly. We don't really assert ourselves on the opposition. Mm. You know, and I would like to see us go out there and hit them 1-2 early on and dominate the match. I think Guyana right now is, I think, playing the best ball that I have known them to play in, you know, probably the last 10 to 15 years. Over that period of time, they have never beaten us, you know, or anything like that. So we have the upper hand in that regard. But I think if we just maintain focus, you know, come out swinging, play smart, play to our strengths, then you know, we should give Shabazz something to think about.
Well, but this is my thing, though. I mean, I agree with you all, but when you think about, let me break this thing down now. I mean, we in this position because we lose a game to Bermuda, and we sweating on results to Guyana. I mean, is this really about how far those teams has come and where world football going, or what I feel is more a symbol of how we have fallen?
I think in the case of Guyana, I would say they have improved, but for TNT, we have slipped further down, you know, in a greater way.
What about you, Kevin? I mean, you think it's more us slipping, or I mean, is it that just the other teams got better?
Well, I firmly believe it's because the severe lack of preparation, organisation, and administrational support. I think the players have always been good enough. You know, you can't go through that sort of night of the long knives we had with all the players being blacklisted and expect to just pick up and start a whole new team again. I mean, that's taken 4 or 5 years to recover from that. The lack of preparation that Fist has had because there's been no quality friendly games. And I think we have to face it that nobody really wants to play us at the moment. Whether that's because we can't afford to pay them to come over, or I don't know, but we're not getting the quality of opposition that we need to prepare. So I feel that Fister's hands have been really tied behind his back, but the man's a master tactician. You can't go against his record. We haven't seen the best of Fister yet, and I'm hoping that we don't get this knee-jerk reaction if we do fail to qualify. And they want to get rid of him because he needs, like any coach, he needs time. Look at Ferguson, 25 years as manager. He was one game away, allegedly, of being sacked. So, you know, I think Fister really hasn't had a fair crack at the whip yet. And I have to place the blame squarely at the foot of TTFF because they certainly haven't supported international football over the last 4 or 5 years.
All right. And as we're on the topic of Fister, I mean, Tolman, what are your views on Fister so far? I mean, what, like 4 games into the campaign as a coach, and in terms of his tactics and his squad selection?
I think, I mean, based on his tenure so far, you really can't fault his squad selection because he really has little to go on. I mean, even when Benhaka came in, Benhaka still was able to organize a series of friendlies against some of the pro league clubs, and I think he had a game against Peru and so forth. So he had at least a little bit bigger window where he could see players perform or not perform and adjust as necessary. Here, Fister comes in, you know, so he has to take other people's word for it, for example, and then go through his training sessions and then just step right into the fire. I mean, people were, you know, was cussing and all of that because you bring Tony Warner and, you know, whoever else, and then give them a game. You see, I hear you laughing, right? and I can understand where he's coming from because here he is, he doesn't really know. He's figuring, well, this fella resume long, he have a million clubs, he must have something to offer. Well, it turned out to be otherwise. But the only way he could see these people are in true game situations, unfortunately. And this is not the first time we've gone through this. In the past, you know, many times we haven't had, you know, adequate friendlies or whatever. And it's only when people go into real games they get found out or they rise to the occasion. I can't get a handle really yet on his tactics yet. I mean, if you, I can't read him that way. What I do see, however, is just like Benhaka, he's getting a lot of support from the players, and that is a big step, and I think they're coming on the same page. I, for one, I'm not sure really what that page is as yet, but you can see the camaraderie. Mm. You can see mentally they're ready, and they seem as though they want to play for him. So I think all these intangible things, you know, are really, really good. On the field, I'm seeing a lot, you know, a lot of crisp passing. The long balls, you know, shows its head every now and again when we start to panic, right? But I see that at least from the defense, we're trying to play out the ball, you know, giving it to the midfielders and bringing it forward.
Yeah.
Right. But I still can't put my, you know, put my finger on what type of ball he's really trying to play just yet.
Yeah, well, for me, I mean, one thing I had to say about Fista, I realize, is in terms of squad selection, when he calls his side, you know, you really can't argue with the man he calls, and you can't, you know, there's no big surprise, or this one man he leave out, or how come this man ain't get picked. For the most part, I would say, is on merit. I mean, looking at this 20-man side he has here for Guyana, I mean, basically, they seem likely faces. And aside from that, I mean, I kind of on board with you too, man. I mean, I could see he gained the players to play for him. I mean, I guess we'll see. You know, I mean, what I know you touch on it, Kevin.
I was just going to say that one of the things when we were talking just in about Tony Warner is that as Tallman said, that, you know, initially Fister had to rely on the intelligence being passed to him, and as we know, there was a severe lack of intelligence around at the time. So people are, he looking at Tony Warner and saying, well, there's a guy who's played for Liverpool, blah 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 blah, he's played in the Premiership, he's won Champions League medals, but he doesn't know the full story. Whereas someone like, you know, Kelvin Jack, who is also available, he would have looked at that and thought, well, Kelvin Jack played in the Conference last year, you know, who would you choose? You would choose the Premiership player. But that's a lack of people really giving him the proper intelligence, and so I think now he's starting to say, "Well, okay, now I'm not going to pick anyone till I see them play." And we're seeing lots of players. In fact, Conrad Smith is now back in the country and trying to play in this country, so he can be under the nose of Fister, because that seems to be the way Fister is selecting his team. He's looking at players actually in front of his nose. He's not taking the word of other people anymore. So. I think this squad now is Fister's squad, not a squad picked by someone else and passed on to him.
Yep. Well, I mean, I just hope we could pull off them results against Guyana and progress to the next round. I mean, it's not going to get any easier if that's what we do. What's the teams we're looking at again, Toyman, if we get into the next phase?
Well, the next phase, you know, if we progress, we are guaranteed to be in a group with Costa Rica, Mexico, and the other opponent, I think, will most likely be Honduras, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
It's either going to be Honduras or El Salvador. I don't have the groupings in front of me right now, but it's one of those two.
Yeah.
And then only two from that group goes on to the hex. So think about that.
Wow. Yeah, man.
So scary. So which means realistically, we would be, you know, fighting up with Costa Rica and the other Central American team, unless Mexico was to capitulate, which is highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely. Well, you know, we could only hope for the best as fans, you know.
Right. Well, as fans, we're going to win everything.
Well, you know, there's no point qualifying for the World Cup if you can't beat the teams in your region. So you want to know that you can come up against the top teams in the area and draw or win. So, you know, if we're going to qualify, let's do it on merit. Let's not just sneak through one-fifth of an extra place against Kuwait or something. Let's get in there, beat the teams in this area, and show that when we do get there, we're there on merit. And you know what? If we don't, so what? We've had vast experience. And
well,
that
this round's
a good step for the next qualifying tournament.
This round was actually supposed to be favorable to us. You know?
Yeah.
If you saw this grouping on paper based on histories and what have you, you would say, for sure, TNT. But, of mm-hmm. course, football, as many other sports do, you know, spring surprises. That's what keeps the fans interested.
I think we had to be realistic, too. I mean, let's be honest. If we having problems beating the likes of Bermuda, India, Guyana, we're worried about, and we're going and talk about Mexico and Costa Rica, you know, them fellas need to make a quantum leap in terms of the quality they're putting up there, you know? I mean, that's just the hard facts, you know?
For one thing, though, in our play that I've seen so far under Pfister, is still we lack a sharpness in the attacking third. We have had some, you know, some individual brilliance with, you know, Pelletier with his hat trick, you know, Houghton Hector scoring a very nice goal. But I'm talking about the, I find we're not creating many, many chances. Now, I heard we did a lot against Bermuda. I didn't actually see that game.
Yeah.
Right? But I find our link-up play is lacking somewhat.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, just moving off of World Cup qualifying and looking around Trinidad football at some of the headlines. I mean, we have some of the big things happening in the recent past. Highland scoring his first goal for Genk. And going up against Chelsea, I don't know if you all saw that game, but you know, he looked, they actually had him playing last stopper there, and he looked decent, you know.
Well, interestingly enough, that goal he scored for Genk was while he was at the centre back.
So you think centre back for Trinidad? I mean,
I have no idea about that, because you know the thing is, what we tend to do is we look at what. Where they play our players in their respective clubs, and then sometimes want to adapt it for the national team. But we have to keep in mind that sometimes they can operate in different positions because of the supporting personnel. And that's not always the case when we're talking about a national team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and just looking around at some other headlines, We had a couple of players on trial at Pachuca in Mexico. That's Michael Lewis, Jason Joseph, and Kevon Molino, who was at the Pan Am Games and looking really good. I mean, I don't know if you're paying attention to this player, but he's one Pfister pointed out as well.
Yeah, Molino has been, you know, on the radar for a while now. I mean, even back when he was on the under-17 team, he scored a crucial goal against Jamaica. In Jamaica, I think, to advance our qualification that year. And his performances in the Pro League prior to him going to Orlando was noteworthy. And he really went to Orlando and adapted, you know, quite well. I would like to see him improve his physique a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, to be a little bit more combative out there. But you can see he has a lot of... footballing intelligence. He isn't afraid to shoot, and I think that you know, barring, you know, injury or any kind of weird things, he should develop quite nicely.
Yeah, he seemed like someone with places to go. And also Chris Birchall and the Galaxy advancing to the MLS playoff final. That's another one to watch there. You'll think he'd have a big part to play going forward as well.
I think Birchall, I find his club career is always in starting and stopping, because he was starting regularly for the Galaxy for a while, and then I believe he ran into a little disciplinary problem with yellow cards and all that. So sometimes, you know, he'd miss a game or two, and then during that time somebody else takes his positions, then he comes back and it's coming off the bench, and you know, so sometimes it lacks the continuity. But he's still, you know, viewed upon as a central part of the Galaxy setup, and you know, I would like to see them take that MLS Cup, you know, and give him another trophy. I mean, to be quite frank about it, I mean, it's not something that excites me a lot in terms of football, you know, watching MLS. But you know, I'm just glad for him personally.
Cool, man. So. Just coming off the international scene a bit and coming local, I mean, I know Kevin would be really in-depth on the local Pro League scene. You want to give us a roundup of what is going on with the Pro League?
Well, maybe 2 or 3 hours ago, I would suggest, but now, obviously with the curfew ending, it'd be interesting to see if the Defence Force and Police come back earlier than planned. And we might get an array of fixtures coming in the last 2 weeks of November. I think what I would first say is that, to me, the standard of the Pro League is is very good. And I think we were talking about players going overseas and whatever. I think we got some really, really good players in playing in the Pro League at the moment, in all the teams. There's not one team really where you go and watch them, there isn't a standout player there. There's a name you're looking for. And I'm talking about the likes of Plaza, Brito, and I mean, I saw Joel Bailey the other day playing for Tientek in defence, and he just looks so solid, so composed. So, I mean, I think that standard is very, very good, and there's going to be a lot of chopping and changing at the top. Obviously, Tientek, brilliant at the moment, 10 points from 4 games. We spoke, just said, North East Stars playing St Anne's Rangers on, I think it's the 18th of November. Either of those teams win that, they go second, I believe, or third. So there's a lot of chopping and changing that's still to come about, and we'll also see some new players coming into squads in the beginning of December. So I think so far the standard has been very good. I'd also say as well that the young talent on display, we spoke about the Olympic team, but the young talent on display in the Pro League is really, really exciting. And again, it, you know, you see people out there like Sherwin Winchester. Yeah. No, you said it now, Sherlock. Yeah. Mr. Winchester, anyway.
Shadon Winchester.
I mean, I think he's still only 19, and yet he seems to have been around for years, and he's such a composed player. So I think we have exciting times ahead for Trinidad and Tobago football if we continue to develop the players as they should be developed properly.
Kevin, what one question here. Do you think, as a unintended consequence of a couple of the teams dropping out this season, has that elevated the quality of play? Because now you have less teams competing and then the remaining teams vying for, you know, players who are available?
Most certainly, because what you've got now is you've got the same, if you like, number of talented players spread more thinly across the league. So yeah, you've got a lot. I think that the six teams that I've seen play so far are all very much of a similar quality. You've got players in every team that can turn a match. So yes, it's helped by condensing the league. The quality has improved. I think what the Pro League have to look at now is how to bring through more talent, so that when we again expand the league, the quality will still continue. There's no point having teams that are going to get whipped every time. I mean, if you look at St Anne's Rangers, they're coming through. Caledonia, all right, they've won a cup, but then they've been struggling. You know, I don't think anyone at the moment can really tell who's going to win the league. And that's not because there's a lot of poor teams, it's because there's a lot of good teams. You know, I mean, the only criticism I have, which I continue to say, is that the Trinidad football supporters let the league down so much because they're just not coming out. And I don't understand why. For $30, I mean, some of these players, really, I can tell you this now, some of these players would be playing in at least the English League One, at least in front of 5,000 or 6,000 people. So why we can't get 500 or 600 to a match, I just don't know.
No. Do you really think is the supporters to blame or the Pro League management? I mean, it's been years now, and you know, you never really see anything about attendance figures. You don't really see the games being pushed really in the communities. You know, the advertisements are not really out there.
Well, let's look at where we can start with that. I mean, I pick up a newspaper, and the back page, I mean, if I look at today's back page of the Express Sport, okay, we've got cricket, then we go inside, we've got a bit about Bangladesh there and stuff like that. You have to look a long way into the paper to find a Pro League. Now, it could be that the newspapers say, well, no one's interested, but how can they be interested if you're not pushing it in front of them? So, I mean, let's start getting...
I don't know. I just think really in a case like this, the onus is really on the league, because I mean that's the way people like newspapers work, or potential sponsors, unfortunately, is that, you know, they want to see some people in the seats first. And I mean, if half the time you can't even rely on word of mouth that, hey, tomorrow's game is at the Larry Gomes, and you turn up there and it's down at the Manny and all these kind of things. It's been really, I mean, it's been difficult. I mean, I'm not privy to all the behind the scenes that are going in the Pro League or anything, and, you know, all the various challenges. I could probably imagine what they are. But still, at the end of the day, you know, I'm not really seeing them pushing to get people in there. I mean, in any meaningful way. I mean, yes, sometimes you see, you know, the Super Friday thing, which is something that's been a long time in common. I mean, for me, it's like, well, okay, better late than never, but I mean, come on, it's 2011.
Well, I think that, first of all, I mean, I would say to you that with regards to organising a league, and you say the complications, I think all three of us here, and probably most of the people who are listening, could probably sit down and run a league with eight teams. I don't think it's that complicated. I really don't. So that's the first thing. I don't see why it's complicated.
Well, I should say probably complicated operating in this land of Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, okay, we got a curfew, but we didn't have a curfew last season.
No, I'm not even talking about the curfew. I'm just talking about the business environment, things like that.
Well, then that's where we're getting to the crux of it, because at the end of the day, in most walks of life, people are accountable. In Trinidad and Tobago, people aren't. It's like, well, yeah, you're doing a rubbish job, but, you know, I can't think of anyone else to come in. And we see that in the TTFF. We see that in the Pro League. We see that in all walks of corporate life. I mean, Clico, etc. You see how there's no checks and balances in place there. Everybody is just free and easy. And, you know, I've got to say, that's one of the things I love about Trinidad. The people, everyone's so relaxed. But you have to sometimes take off your relaxed hat and say, hey, that's for the weekend, you know?
But at the same time, though, you could say that, but, you know, there was a time when football was getting plenty support in this country, you know? People was coming out to the games in droves.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And, you know, and it was the same, maybe the same, you know, you're dealing with the same mentality, or maybe even a different, even worse back then, but they were coming out. So I think it has to be, it boils down to a marketing thing, you know? It's something they're not getting the word out. I can tell you, for me, I mean, I had all plans to go a lot of Pro League games this year. But then when I heard, you know, I was getting a pass, and when I heard teams were dropping out and there were six teams, I kind of hold back on it. And then, you know, if I was hearing it more like, you know, hey, this is big game going on, whatever, this, whatever, on a Friday, and I would be more interested in going. But I don't really hear anything until the weekend go on. You know, it's really not up front and center for me to say, well, this is something I had to do. And that's something I think they had to work on.
Well, what would your solution be? Because at the end of the day, I know I'm working sort of damn hard to keep Northeast Stars in the press as much as possible. We have the same problem where we get short notice of games. But, I mean, aside from taking out adverts in the newspapers, which we can't afford to do, how do we do it? Because, you know, it comes back to money again. No one is marketing the league.
Yeah.
And there's no sponsors coming forward. Why, I don't know. I mean, I certainly talk to a lot of businesses, and they all tell me they don't want to put money into football. That's what they tell me. And the only way we get it is by doing community work and projects. That's the only way we can sneak money out, because they just don't want to put money into football. So it's a vicious circle. You know, until they put money in, you won't get more marketing, you won't get more publicity. You know, we're struggling to bring exciting players to the club. And I have to say, if it wasn't for the likes of people like John Williams and Daryl Mahabi at Northeast, there would be no Pro League, because these people are paying literally hundreds of thousands of dollars out of their own pockets. There's no money. You know, when you have a player, let's say one player earns $5,000 a month, you've got 200 paying spectators at $30, just do the math. There's no money there.
Yeah.
So these people are paying it out of their own pocket, and I don't know how to connect the circle and get money into football so money can improve. Oh, sorry, so football can improve. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
And I'll say as well, I mean, I come to Trinidad full of hope and belief that, you know, we can turn things around. And I haven't lost my positivity, but I realise it's a lot harder than I thought it would be. You know, so...
Well, November 7th, curfew finish. Actually, just a few hours ago, so they see if it have some kind of effect, you know.
So, Let's hope so.
I think that's pretty much it for the Pro League roundup and the national team roundup. I don't know if you guys have any closing thoughts you want to share going forward, Tolman.
Well, I think really, you know, November 11th and November 15th, those are the 2 days, you know, that we need to be focused on currently. So I'm just I mean, imagine that. We were really excited about games against Guyana. Right? And, you know, and again, you know, some people might look at that as they're putting down Guyana. No, it's not that. But given the fact that we seem to play Guyana so many times every year, right?
But you know, I just want to close with saying, you know, I was watching that same Chelsea game with I was watching actually a Stoke game, and Shaka, his sub was commentating. And the commentator asked Shaka, you know, when Ken Wynn came on, he was like, you know, well, how you feel about Trinidad chances for the World Cup? And Shaka was kind of, you know, paused and, well, you know, I'd like to see them go to Brazil. And then the commentator turned to him and asked him, but just joking around, you know, but you all kind of beat Bermuda, you know? And it was like, but the man have a point, you know, I mean,
Well, I mean, not really, because you know how it is. I mean, in campaigns or in leagues, sometimes you drop games that you want to know, well, how you drop that, you know, so it goes. You know, it's the ability to bounce back, because on any given day, you know, teams have upsets or you play very badly, or in the case as us, apparently we played well but didn't, you know, put the ball in the back of your net, which is what the game is about, and you have those days, so I don't really think it's anything to, you know, to panic about. I mean, what upsets me more is when I look at how we've been over the last couple of years,
yeah,
not being able to qualify for the Gold Cup and things like that, and getting knocked out by Grenada and all these, you know, those are the things that I worry about,
yeah,
because it's kind of happening consistently, you know.
I'd like to finish on a positive note and say, aside from the Guyana matches, I'm really looking forward to the Olympic qualifiers, because if TNC get a result against Cuba, I think the chances of getting through to the CONCACAF round is very, very good. And don't forget the effect that these youngsters are having, because people are looking and say, well, hang on, you know, the youngsters now drawing with Mexico, drawing with Uruguay, you know, that sends out a message as well. So, you know, let's hope some of that confidence carries through to the senior team. But also, let's also remember that this crop of youngsters now playing in the Olympic qualifiers are going to be our team for 2018. So,
well, actually, you know what I'm interested in seeing is how they really play against Cuba and the rest of them, because I want to see if the intensity, you know, would be the same as what they showed in the Pan Am games, because because they knew, I mean, that the level of teams we were playing were high, so they had to bring their A game all the time, you know.
But don't forget as well, they probably never played in such large crowds before as well.
Exactly. So I'm just hoping that, you know, that translates. You know, okay, so you're going to play these other teams. Don't, you know, let your guard down. Don't drop your shoulders, but come at the same level.
Well, I just say that I saw that when Cajun Gabriel come back the next day from Mexico, and he scored a fantastic goal for North East Stars, and that was just confidence. You could see the confidence exuding. So if they can carry that forward now, I'm very confident for the Olympic qualifiers.
Yeah, and as far as I can see too, based on reports in the press, the players are responding well to Angus and,
yes,
you know, his methods.
Yeah. All right, guys, so maybe we should just wrap it up here. This part, like I said, we're going to try and do this every month, once a month, you know, and have, like, you know, guests coming on the show. I just want to thank Collier for taking the time out and coming in.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure to be here.
Good. Thank you very much.
And, you know, just remember, anybody listening, check out www.soccerwarriors.net and the Warrior Nation for anything to do with Trinidad football. Everything right there.
Just remember, we're on Facebook too and Twitter.
All right, guys. So, have a good night. And I guess all the best for these games against Guyana.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next time we talk to you, we'll be through to the next round, huh?
For sure, for sure.
And then curfew lifted, so after hours drinks then. Yeah,
I'm going out for a drink now. See you later.
All right.
All right, guys. Later.
All right, easy.